Welcome to the Pearls of Wisdom show with Catherine Barner. Catherine's one-on-one conversations with women of faith from around the Christian community will provide you with valuable insight, entertainment, and the encouragement to strengthen your walk with God. Keep listening. The Pearls of Wisdom show with Catherine Barner starts now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I am Catherine Barner, and this is the Pearls of Wisdom show. Do you have trouble sometimes studying your Bible, or do you have a hard time deciding exactly where to even begin? Does it sometimes seem overwhelming to you when you open your Bible, or do you wonder if you really need to study at all? If any of these questions apply to you, you are tuned in at the right time because I have my sister friend, Dr. Brittany Burnett, with me today, and we're going to be talking about some tips for personal Bible study. Dr. Burnett is no stranger to the Pearls of Wisdom show, and I am thrilled to have her here today. She is currently an associate professor of Christian education and the associate dean of distance education for faculty and curriculum development at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston. She has earned numerous degrees in religious studies and theology, and in addition to being a rabid tennis fan, she is also an Alabama Crimson Tide fan
as well.
Brittany, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you here today. And as I said, we're talking about tips for personal Bible study.
Yes.
And I think it's one of those things that sometimes people get stuck on and just have lots of questions. So we want to just jump into this thing and hopefully give some real practical tools today.
Sure.
So let's start with the why.
Right.
Someone listening who may be saying, why do I need to study my Bible anyway? I go to church on Sunday.
Yep.
Someone who may not attend church. Why do we need to study the Bible?
First, I think because it's the very word of God.
Mm.
So often we ask ourselves questions and we sometimes say, I wish that the Lord would speak to me.
Mm.
If I could just get sometimes a one-on-one with the Lord. And then it's so helpful to know that you can go and pick up that book, his book, and know that he is speaking to you. And there is a whole story that is there that starts from Genesis and it goes all the way to Revelation, and there is meat there. You know, sometimes I sit back and I think about the word, and there's a great passage in 2 Timothy that says all scripture is God-breathed.
Yes.
I mean, so literally as if he is breathing it out. And so that in itself is something to take hold of. And in other places, we see the Bible listed as the word of life, and we see it as the word of truth. And so who doesn't need the truth? who doesn't need life? And then I love a passage in Psalms because it says, Psalm 119, it says that the Bible guides us.
Yes.
It's a lamp unto my feet,
yes,
a light unto my path. And so we need it for that. And then ultimately, too, the scripture always helps us to be able to recognize false teaching when we hear it and to be able to recognize that which is false. There's a reminder that I always have, and sometimes it can be a very sobering reminder, that we do have an enemy.
Yes.
And that enemy has often been known. We see it in Genesis 2, where he approaches Adam and Eve, and he perverts the oral word of God.
Exactly.
And then we see in Matthew 4, even with Christ himself, where he perverts the written word of God.
Exactly.
And so we have to be able to rightly handle the word of truth, to be able to see false doctrine when we see it, when we hear it, and then to combat it.
Yes.
One of my favorite passages in scripture is the great passage in Ephesians where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God and taking up the sword of the Spirit so we can do some combat there. And so we don't go into those battles unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that's so cool about the sword of the Spirit, any master fighter, and if they would pick up their sword, they knew that they have to sharpen their sword well. They would go through all of the moves that they need in order to know, when do I parry? When do I thrust? How do I move and maneuver well? And so if we want to be able to accurately handle the word, we need to make sure that our swords are sharp.
Are sharp.
And they're not going to be sharp if the scripture is just sitting on a shelf collecting dust. We need to be in it. We need to be engaging it. We need to be studying it. We need to let the scripture work us over.
Wow. I love that. And I love what you just said. Let the scripture work us over.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much in there. And as you were talking, I was thinking about it exactly, that the scripture in 2 Timothy, you said, where it is God's word breathe. I mean,
yes.
it is his very word breathed to us.
Yes.
And you're right. If we want to know anything about him, mm-hmm. it's in there.
It's in his word.
To deal with any situation that comes up, it's yep. in his word.
Yes.
And so I so appreciate you saying that. So let's talk about this. We talk about, you know, why we need to study God's yeah. word. So, but what does that really mean? When
yep.
we say study the Bible or
yep.
you should study your Bible
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to Bible study, what mm-hmm. does that really mean, Brittany?
I think, and this is going to sound loaded and then I'll unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is prayerfully and worshipfully and humbly
mm.
engaging the text. And you can do that in many ways by reading it,
mm-hmm.
by listening to it, meditating on it, submitting to it, and then applying it and teaching it,
yes.
ultimately. And here's the reasons why I say all of those things. Prayerfully, I always, anytime I'm getting ready to open up the scripture, I always ask, Lord, open me to your word, and Lord, open up your word to me. Because I know that I want him to help me engage the scripture and study and learn, because that's just extremely helpful. I don't want to go in there by myself. I want the Holy
yes.
Spirit to be in there with me. And then to humbly, you know, I always think of, again, there's a great passage in Philippians about having the mind of Christ and how Christ humbled himself. And I'll tell you a story, and it's actually pretty, it's embarrassing, but it was also very instructive.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple of years ago, I was getting ready to read a paper that I had written. It was on my thesis. And so I was going to read it at Dallas Baptist University.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up that morning, and I thought, I've written my thesis on this. I know this.
Right.
I was putting on my makeup in the mirror, Catherine. And it's going to sound very arrogant, but it's what I thought. I said, Rich, you got this.
Mm.
And Catherine, the Lord, you know, and again, I just know it was just the Holy Spirit, gave me such a stern rebuke. It was almost as if, you know, so forcefully, he just put on my heart and says, little girl,
mm.
you don't got this.
Mm.
This is my word. You approach my word humbly.
Wow.
You need my help to teach my word.
Mm.
So get off the throne of your heart. You don't belong there.
Mm.
And that was just, that was a devastating moment, but it was a moment to give me a very good reality check.
Yeah.
Because you don't approach the word in such a way that says you got this. No, it's his word.
Yeah.
And so you again ask for his help and then worshipfully. You know, whenever I'm engaging my students, I always tell them, I want you to know the word. I want you to be able to study the word and exegete it. But at the end of the day, if you can quote me scripture,
yeah.
if you know your Greek and your Hebrew, but if it hasn't worked you over mm. like what we're talking about,
mm.
if the scripture hasn't mastered you, then all of this study has been for naught. We don't
yeah.
just want you to be able to talk about it or teach it or preach it or exegete it. We want it to work you over so that you will be a good servant of the Lord.
Mm.
And so those are all of the different ways in which we have to approach it. And then sometimes I just think, you know, if I'm tired or if I'm stressed, I just think, Lord, it's difficult for me to start reading. I listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of different apps that you can get on your telephone that will read the word to you.
Absolutely.
Listen to it. And then you've got to apply it and
yeah.
you've got to submit to it. I mean, it is an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's much easier to say, I'll go off and do it Brittany's way or this way or that way. No, because if it is the word of God, and if it is truth, then we have to bow the knee to the word of God and say, I will obey. Lord, help me to obey.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so much you just said in there. and it is all so good. but I think you're right. One of the things that, I mean, when you talk about coming to his word humbly,
yeah.
you know, because you're right. The only reason that we are able to understand
right.
anything about his word is
right.
because he gives us the ability to do so.
Amen. Amen.
And again, I do think there is a danger, particularly for those of us who are in seminary, have been
yes.
to seminary and have these degrees
yes.
to think that
yes.
I've mastered this thing. But there's so much in there. We'll
yep.
never really master and understand it all.
No.
So, yeah, coming to him continually and saying, God, open my heart,
yes.
open my eyes, open
yes.
my mind
yes.
to what are you trying to say to me? What more is there that you can say to me about this?
And it's so interesting, too, because no matter how many times you look at a text, sometimes in different seasons of life,
mm-hmm.
You'll see things that you won't see before.
Right.
And you will be able to just go down and get deep. This morning, I was in Exodus, and it was just talking about all of the different parts of the tabernacle as they
mm-hmm.
were preparing to build it. And again, just the exactness and the order and the beauty of it all.
Mm.
And so when the Lord is saying, I want you to have my table of showbread, and then I was reading a commentary, and he said, because the bread was in the presence of the Lord, so the people were always meant to be thankful. And then that reminds us of the fact that Jesus is the bread from heaven. And then he's talking about, you know, the candlestick and the light that was meant in the tabernacle, that was meant to light the way as the priest went in. And of course, Jesus is the light of the world, and he wants us to be. And so I'm just thinking to myself, Lord, really? I mean, you were setting us up, even in Exodus, for the Lord who would come. And Catherine, I've read that so many, but for so, but it just, it came alive
today,
in a new way today,
today.
And so I love the word like that. I mean, again, the Lord will move and he will show you things, show forth his glory, show forth his son. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. It's the written word that points to the incarnate word who is Jesus.
Exactly.
You got to love that.
And that's the exciting part.
It is.
And ultimately what I hear you saying is that we study it so we can live it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Not just because to check a box off and say, okay, I read my Bible
today, and
I studied this passage. Okay, let me move on to the next thing. But we study it to encode it, to get it in our spirits and our hearts and our minds so that we can then live it.
Absolutely.
And then I heard you say, so we can teach it.
Absolutely.
So we're discipling somebody.
Absolutely. You know, there's another great passage in Deuteronomy that's a favorite of mine. And the Lord just says, you know, when your children ask you, why do you do what you do? Not when, not if, but when. He's fully aware your children will ask you this question. You know, why do we do what we do? He said, you are to tell them about the stories of what I have done. When are you to teach? When you wake up, when you sit down, when you walk along the road. You know, and so it's that idea, you are always to be teaching. So you are modeling in front of them. Reading your Bible, you are modeling in front of them walking the road with the Lord. You are modeling in front of them what it means to be a woman of the book.
Wow.
So it's not just a woman who can quote the book, a woman of the book, who is mastered by the book. And all of us are in training on that. The Lord is training me. All of us are in training on that.
That is beautiful. So see, okay, so you just, we're going all over right now. Okay. But so I'm gonna jump here for a minute because you brought up the children. That's something I wanted to ask you about. When we talk about studying the Bible, how do we help our children engage in Bible study when we know that everything is pulling them away?
Yes.
How do we help them really understand why this is so important?
I think one, it starts with the modeling, because I think that several of the different things that I've heard from parents with young kids, and certainly as the kids grow up into their teenage years, they need to see mom and dad living this out.
Yeah.
It's very easy sometimes, probably just to say, well, I know that my teachers, if they go to a Christian school or if they're in Bible study, they'll teach them the word, but they've got to see mom and dad living the word.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I was a little girl too. In my first grade class, I'll never forget my teacher. She had us memorize ABC Bible verses. Catherine, I still remember all 26 verses. I kid you not. I kid you not. And I mean, little things like that, because when your kids are small, their minds are like sponges.
Absolutely.
I mean, you talk to different teachers and like that's the ideal time when they're small to teach them foreign languages and do all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if their minds are ready and capable of teaching them a foreign language, start teaching them
God's
Bible
word.
Stories. Yes, the word. Talk to them about, you know, as I was going through reading through the Exodus again, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, if you ever give me children, let me tell your story, the stories as if they, it's a part of our history as believers. Here is what the Lord did with the nation of Israel. Here is what the Lord did when he was teaching the Beatitudes, so that they can see that these biblical stories are our stories.
Yes.
And then when you start teaching them, and then when they see you reading, and when you teach them the basics, like their ABCs, those are things that they'll come back and remember later. I had a great prof in seminary who said that he went through a time, he was raised Lutheran, and then in his late teens and early 20s, he strayed. And then he said, but there are several things that brought me back. He said, my parents, especially my mom, was very diligent to teach me the basics of the faith. And so he said that they had what was called like a little catechism. So it was like a little book with questions and answers where his mom would teach him some of the basics. Here, who is God? God is who made you. And he made the whole universe. So basics of the faith. And he said that after, you know, he came back, a part of the reason that he knew the Lord was pulling him back, he remembered those basics that she was teaching him when he was 5 years old. So if they see you studying, if they see you memorizing, if they see you walking, and then if you are deliberate and intentional
in doing that,
about teaching them even the basics. If they can say their ABCs, that they can memorize some ABC Bible verses,
exactly.
That they can take with them for the rest of their lives. Some of those verses I've remembered, and they've helped me through some very dark times. Some ABC Bible verses.
That is,
you never know how the Lord will use it.
Exactly. That is beautiful. And it's so funny when you say that, particularly, you know, my daughter actually sent me a video, a YouTube video of a little boy. He was on Steve Harvey's show a couple of weeks ago. And that's exactly what his father was doing, teaching him his ABCs with Bible verses.
Oh, that is
so
fantastic.
I'm sitting at my desk, and, you know, literally almost in tears, and I'm screaming, you know, and texting back to her, this is going to be my grandchild.
That is wonderful.
It absolutely just warmed my heart because this little boy, you know, and he's just rattling off these scriptures, and he may have been four or five, but exactly what you're saying, that's what his father, and his father is doing that.
Oh,
with
that's
him.
Wonderful.
You know, like you said, it's
wonderful.
Not happening at school. He's not leaving. His father is doing
amen,
that.
Amen. Amen.
So
that is wonderful.
I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. And there are, you know, today there are so many things that we have at our disposal to help us do that, which I think is a huge advantage for parents today. I think it's Desiring God that they have this app. It's the Fighter Versus app.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you can
absolutely
write scripture for the week. And then, and it's a wonderful, wonderful app that I think is really cool, particularly for young people.
It's fantastic. And they've also got, I think they still have this on their website, a small catechism for their kids. And then what I love about what they do, too, is because the kids and the parents can be learning the Fighter Versus together.
Exactly.
So make it a family
affair.
So again and again, you're modeling your teaching. So just as the kids are learning the verses, you're learning those same verses.
Right.
Quiz each other.
Yes.
Let them bounce back and forth on scripture like that. That's a wonderful way to learn scripture.
And then I think that's a good way to talk about then, okay, how do we apply it? So when something comes up, or they come home from school, or they, you know, they get a phone call from a friend, or there's all the madness going on, and you know, how does the scripture apply? You
absolutely.
Know, how does the scripture we talked about last week apply to this?
So, absolutely.
Because I do think you're right. We have to give them as, you know, according to their level, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And as they grow,
mm-hmm.
then we give them more. But I do agree with you that we can start,
you
know, as soon as they start learning and encoding and sponging in all this stuff, then we can be talking about God's word with them.
Amen. Amen.
So good. So let's talk about this because we veered off on the kids, but that's okay. That's okay. So let's talk about some practical things.
Yes.
For, you know, for a sister who may be listening and, you know, what version do I use?
Yep.
Where do I start? Do I start in Matthew? Do I start in Genesis?
Right.
Do I have a reading plan?
Right.
So
right.
What are just some practical tools to kind of, you know, not make this, again, a checkoff, you know, but to really help people get into God's word and for it to change their lives and it not just be another thing I have to do?
We'll start with versions. That's a fantastic question. And again, it depends on what it is that you're looking for in a translation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, New American Standard. If you want a translation that's really faithful to the Greek and to the Hebrew, that's a good translation.
Yeah.
If you want one that's a little bit more readable, ESV, the English Standard Version, the New International Version, those are also very, very readable text. Right now, I'm using the NET Bible this year because I'm trying to go through the scripture in a year. And I love that one, too, because that one was commissioned for the translation by my DTS professors at Dallas Seminary.
Yes.
Yeah, so that one is good, and it's got like 60,000 notes in the Bible.
Wow.
So it's fantastic in order to just go through and do some deep study. And so really what you're looking for, there are paraphrases as well. So it just depends if you're really looking for some of the meat of the text. You might want to go with a more literal translation. But again, what you want to try to do is to read a scripture that will help you engage it and understand it so that it does come alive for you. And when it comes to reading plans, the big thing about reading plans, I think they can be very, very helpful because they can give you a schedule. But at the same time, don't be too upset if you find, and that's always going to be the thing, because people will get upset or depressed, and sometimes they'll just stop and say, well, I'll wait again until next year because I've fallen off on the plan. So don't think of it that way. It can be a very helpful guide to provide structure, but if you find out that, okay, so I've fallen, I wasn't able to do it today, or I wasn't able to do it for a week.
Right.
Pick up from just where you are and see if you can go ahead and start again.
Yeah.
I mean, because every day is a new day and you can do that. So don't stop and say, well, I'll just give up on reading it all the way through.
I'll start
this
again next January.
Exactly. Don't do that. But just come back from where you are. And again, and I do this often too, ask the Lord for help.
Mm.
So if you find that you're struggling with reading consistently, say, Lord, you and I both know I'm having problems reading consistently. Help me to do this.
Mm.
And so, again, there are several different reading plans. So you can go through. There are plans where you can read through the whole Bible in a year,
right,
from Genesis to Revelation. Some will actually do it over a course of 3 years,
mm-hmm,
that you can go much slower.
Yeah.
There's one plan that I absolutely love where you have a chance to read through the Psalms every month.
Yes.
I love that one.
Yes.
I love that one because I love the Psalter. I'll just be, I mean, that book of the Bible is so deep. It is so rich.
It's so rich. Yeah.
And, you know, you can see some of the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. And it's such an open, raw book.
Yes.
So whenever I get to a place, if I'm on my schedule, and then I'm just like, Lord, I need to go to a place where I can also just feel very real. So I often go to David. And oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just pours forth sometimes in the Psalms. So again, I think it's just a matter of sometimes praying for guidance and just asking the Lord, I want to have a rhythm,
yeah,
of being in your word and engaging. And I certainly would say as often as you can, get the word daily.
Yeah.
And it's going to look different for everybody. Some people are morning people. Other people are night people.
Yes.
But I would say that, and again, know yourself well enough to know what your particular rhythms are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know I soak it up and I need it in the morning, do it in the morning.
Yeah.
If you soak it up and need it at night, then read it at night. But be in it daily because it is the word
it
of
is,
life.
Yeah.
And every day we need more of that word.
Yeah. I love what you said there, and particularly in if you miss a day, you
mm-hmm
know, not feeling like, you know, okay, I
yes
fell off, I can't start again until
right
next month when the next plan starts. Because
right
I think, you know, I just believe that God is okay with,
yes,
you know, if you miss today,
yes,
and you start tomorrow,
yes,
that he's not going to be upset that
agreed
it's not exactly in line with the plan. I think
yes
he just wants us in his
word. In the
word,
that's it. That's
you know,
it.
And
that's it, 100%.
Today is, you know, whatever today is. And so
yep, agreed.
We fall off the track and so, okay, well, I can't start reading my Bible again until January 2018.
Right. Absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, I messed up my year plan. But
yep,
just, I think for a lot of people, and I think women in particular, it's interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday. A lot of times we need a plan. We want a plan. We want things to be, you know, in a certain order. And so sometimes for us,
mm-hmm,
when we fall off of that plan, we feel like, well, okay, I felt, let me just not do it.
Right.
So we end up
right
doing nothing.
Right.
But having two or three verses,
absolutely,
you know, a day
absolutely
in God's word doesn't mean you have to do an entire book.
That's so
you know
true.
But two or three verses, like you said, that you can take and
yep
make come alive
yep
for you
yep
is going to be huge. Because, of course, the goal of this is
yep
what you said earlier, for us to be changed.
Absolutely.
For our lives to be different, for us to live it, and then for us to teach it.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you, not getting so caught up
mm-hmm
in, you know, I have to do it this exact way. And
that's
particularly
right
if we're talking about new believers, someone
yes
who's just coming
yes
to the faith, and
yes
they pick up the Bible maybe for the first time.
Yep. Yep.
And they're going, oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
And particularly if they've been given a King James Version.
Oh, right.
It's like,
right,
what
right
have I done?
Right, you know? Absolutely. And see, I sometimes tell new believers to start off in the Gospel of John.
Yes.
So, for instance, if you're a seasoned believer, I would definitely say if you want to go ahead and do the year-long study, start off in Genesis
mm-hmm
and then push through to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a brand new believer, I love the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Because in many ways, again, it's very clear, but it's also incredibly rich.
Yes.
And again, talking very, very descriptive about who Christ is
mm-hmm
and describing our need for him. And so it puts a new believer off on a very good, solid, introductory
oh, yeah
foot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a great place for a new believer to start
yeah
the Gospel of John.
That's an excellent point. I happen to agree with you. And I also, you know, I love that Psalms plan also. I've started doing that one and I agree
yes
with you.
Yes, it's rich. It's rich.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Yes,
so,
indeed. Yes,
Brittany,
indeed.
I mean, we could talk about this for for probably another hour.
Yes.
But I really, really appreciate you joining me today. Thank you for answering some of these questions. I think you just are real. And a lot of people may have, even those who are seasoned believers,
mm-hmm,
who may not be reading as much as they want, may have stopped and want to start again. So I really appreciate you coming in, talking to me, and just giving folks some practical tools on how they can study their Bible in their own personal time. So
absolutely
thank you so much.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.
It was good having you here today. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in today. Join me again next week when I'll share more pearls of wisdom. And remember, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Today's podcast was brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at pearlsofwisdomshow.com. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Pearlsofwisdom.com.
each time I listen to the program gives me the hope and the words that I'm looking for. I'm excited to hear who's going to be on each week, and I'll have my pen and paper right at hand so I can take notes to help me throughout my day, throughout my week, and throughout life. And it gives me exactly what I need to be the woman of God that I'm aiming to become.
You've been listening to the Pearls of Wisdom Show with Catherine Barner. Visit online at pearlsofwisdomshow.com.